From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle. I'm the editor of ACC.org, and this is Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. Today, I'm going to cover three articles that came out this week, again, on COVID-19. Clearly, this pandemic is dominating our care, and even the care of patients who don't have it. We're having to consider adjusting how we think about and manage these individuals. We'll talk about a patient from Italy looking at ST segment elevation MI. I'll go through an observational study of hydroxychloroquine, and then we'll finish with a study looking at the incubation period of coronavirus, which I think is useful as we think about our patients with exposures. You may recall, I think it was last week, I talked about a New England Journal article summarizing the care of 22 patients with ST elevation MI. This particular study today is an article in Circulation from Northern Italy looking at 28 patients who had COVID-19 and had a STEMI. Their mean age was 68, roughly 30% were women. For 24, that's 85%, the STEMI was the first clinical manifestation of COVID, and they did not have a COVID-19 test at the time of their cath. In the remaining four, the MI occurred during hospitalization, and they had confirmed COVID-19. 82% had a well motion abnormality, 60% when they went to cath had a culprit lesion, meaning that 40% did not. 40% did not. The follow-up suggested that mortality in these patients was very high, 39%, and one was still hospitalized at the time this article was written. So this is an important article, even though small case series, but think about it. Patients with STEMI, the STEMI may be the first manifestation of COVID-19. That's really important. And second, 40% of them did not have a culprit lesion. Obviously, this causes us to think about whether we would want to be using reperfusion therapy if 40% of patients actually didn't have a thrombotic occlusion. Clearly, during the midst of a surge or a pandemic, now and in the future, this article makes me think that any STEMI, we have to be thoughtful that they could have COVID-19 as the first manifestation with STEMI. And of course, we certainly want to think about how we manage them. We've talked about reperfusion therapy being an attractive choice in some manner because of the PPE required and so forth. But the idea of giving a thrombolytic to a patient who has a 40% chance of not even having a lesion that would benefit also requires some thought. Very interesting article. Obviously more to follow. The next article is from the New England Journal. It's on an observational study of hydroxychloroquine. Obviously, this drug got all kinds of national and international press. It was pushed hard as a possible solution for COVID-19, particularly severely ill patients. We're still waiting for a randomized trial, but this is probably the largest study yet. It came from New York City. It's published this week in New England Journal. We have about 1,400 patients hospitalized from March 7th to April 8th. Obviously, patients were included if they had significant respiratory COVID-19. Patients who were intubated were not included. The primary endpoint was intubation or death, and the follow-up ended April 25th. They used a time-to-event analysis to compare patients who did and did not receive the drug, and they used Cox multivariable modeling to try to risk adjust. So 1,400 patients roughly followed for 22 days, about 58.9% received hydroxychloroquine, a median duration of 5 days. Treatment was started within 48 hours of emergency department arrival in over three-quarters of the patients. And the patients with hydroxychloroquine on average were more ill than patients who didn't get the drug. 25% experienced the primary endpoint. When they did a multivariable analysis to assess whether there was benefit of the drug, they were not able to see benefit. The hazard ratio was 1.04. This is a retrospective single-center study, but it's the largest to date, and it has enough patients with endpoints to do some multivariable risk adjustment. And so far, the drug does not appear to have benefit. In this study, it did not appear to have risk, however. So we need the randomized trials, but certainly this drug right now We have to think twice about it. It can prolong QT intervals. It can lead to dangerous cardiac arrhythmias, particularly with other drugs or patients who have hypomagnesemia or hypokalemia. So think twice about using it. The last paper I want to talk about came out in the Annals of Internal Medicine, and it's described as the incubation period of coronavirus. And this is a really interesting paper. The authors analyzed 181 patients from China, and they tried to understand what was the incubation period from exposure to symptoms. And the median incubation period was about 5 days. And 97% of patients who are infected would exhibit symptoms by 11 days. They also looked at the risk of exposure and tried to identify what's the minimum amount of monitoring that would be sufficient for patients who might have been exposed waiting for symptoms to develop. And in high exposure, it would be 14 days. In low exposure risk, it would be about 14 days. So this study suggests that if we're going to have patients quarantine, or healthcare workers for that matter, 14 days will identify about 99% or greater of individuals who will become symptomatic with COVID-19. Now, obviously, this is an observational study of patients who became symptomatic. And now we know that there are a lot of patients out there or individuals out there who apparently have minimal or no symptoms. But from the point of view of monitoring a patient or a healthcare worker for a period of time to see if they're going to get symptomatic, this study suggests that the current recommendations of 14 days are perfectly appropriate. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. You know, we have a whole hub on the website for COVID-19. It has all kinds of information for you. I recommend that you go there and take advantage of it. Because the pandemic has so occupied both our thinking and our care and how we evolve our care, I've chosen these last 3 or 4 weeks to focus completely on recent articles in this space. This may continue because, of course, the pandemic and our understanding of this virus are still very much in their infancy. So thank you for listening. I recorded this on Monday, May 9th, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Thank you.